Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem.
Biz Talk Radio is proud to bring you Investor's Edge with Gary Kaltbaum. Straight talk about you and your money. You can reach Gary now at 877-747-EDGE. That's 877-747-3343. Here is your host, Gary Kaltbaum.
In case you're just joining us, today is Thursday, December 26, 2019, and we have a great show for you tonight. We want to thank everybody very much for being here. Before we get into the details, I want to wish everybody a happy belated Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, and everything in between. As you know, now let's jump into it. This is a show about you and your money. And just as a quick reminder before we get into the nitty-gritty of the show, if you don't get this show in your city, you can go to GaryK.com and listen live or archive. We are live Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Also at GaryK.com, you can follow Gary on Twitter. You can just press the button. You can subscribe and get Gary's morning notes sent directly to your inbox. Read his take on the market. You can sign up to the Conviction Leaders newsletter or report that he publishes right there on GaryK.com. And then, of course, pause and rewind and fast forward the show. And any point of the show or any part of the show, all the archives are available on GaryK.com. So, a few, let's say the agenda for today, a few highlights that we'll talk about. Number one, this is the 26th of December, the day after Christmas. I always like to put the year end in proper perspective, and I'll tell you about the yellow brick road, a little nitbit or trick that I learned from Gary about 15 or 20 years ago, and it's incredibly powerful. It's not just for markets, it's just to keep your life on track, to keep your business on track, to help keep you focused, and help you make sure hold yourself accountable. Because in this business, a big part of it, and a lot of time you know that I focus on psychology, is because that's a lot of the, well, one of the most important areas that I believe that differentiates real winners and or uber successful people from everybody else. I mean, there's millions of people trade the markets from all over the world. And there's a very, 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 and I can add another hour, very small percentage of people that consistently beat the market. And the reason isn't so much as they know what stocks to buy or when to get in or when to get out or, you know, what the latest fad is du jour, the latest headline du jour. It's because they understand or they have access to insider information, which is illegal. Not for the masses. The reasons that they're able to get ahead and stay ahead is because they've mastered the most important variable in the market, and that's thyself or yourself. You know, I have a whole book coming out. It's being published hopefully sometime next year by Wiley. It'll be available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the fun bookstores that are around. It's called Psychological Analysis. And the whole idea is to focus on making smart decisions. What separates you from everybody else? Well, everybody, you know, if I give a speech and there's 1,000 people in the audience, I ask anybody how many, you know, people think they're going to beat the market. Almost everybody raises their hand, when in reality, statistics shows us that very few will. You know, ask 100 newlyweds how many people think you're going to get divorced on their wedding night. Almost nobody's going to raise their hand. Yet, statistically, half of them are getting divorced. So, being able to, you know, Napoleon Hill talks about it in Think and Grow Rich, one of the best books of all time. Accurate thinking. It's one of his principles. He noticed after observing really successful people that they're able to think accurately. Put their personal biases and their cognitive biases aside, think objectively, not emotionally, and make accurate decisions with the information they have. You know, another great saying on Wall Street isn't so much that you have access to insider information or you use information differently or any of that type of stuff. None of that stuff matters. What matters is to do it and do it well and cycle after cycle, year after year. It's to use the information better than your competition. And that's a psychology part of it, right? It's dry. Nobody loves hearing about it. Oh my God, I get so excited when I think about how I make decisions or my cognitive biases or snooze fest. I like to do my best to make light of it because it's one of the most important, if not the most important elements that you can control. And it directly impacts your success on Wall Street and in life. Because it's the quality of your decisions that determines how successful or unsuccessful you are. Remember, taking a trade is good, fine and dandy. Not taking a trade is also a decision. Knowing when to sell, knowing when to buy, so on and so forth, are all really, 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 really important decisions. So it's not just, oh, I bought this stock. Well, why? What's your game plan? When are you going to exit? How much are you going to risk if you're wrong? So on and so forth. So that's one part of it. The other part, I'll go over the markets. I'll talk about some sectors, some stocks, and a whole lot of other fun stuff. I will do my best to make light of it, keep the conversation light and light beat, because it is a heavy and or dry subject, talking about the quality of your decisions and how you make decisions, but it's really, really important. You know, my friend of mine, Mike Lamott from MaraWealth.com, he had a great post he sent me, and anyone else, you can sign up to his, he's got a bunch of stuff online. You can follow him on Twitter, Instagram, or whatever it is. But he had a great thing the other day where he just published, you know, people are always looking at what stock to buy. It's like asking a surgeon going into an operating room, where should I cut? Well, what about all the other factors? Portfolio management, risk management, money management, how much of your portfolio should you risk? Where do you enter? Where do you exit? And the list goes on and on and on and on. How do you come up with your criteria? What's your edge? The name of the show is Investor's Edge. Gary picked that for a reason. What's your edge? And if you can't clearly state it in very simple, concise terms to a 5-year-old that they'd understand, or maybe a 10-year-old can understand it, I would strongly urge you to rethink your edge and simplify it. And when you're done, simplify it some more. You know, we teach our kids to simplify our fractions for a reason. There's a certain elegance, genius, in simplicity. Being able to articulate something very, very simply, very concisely. Think of the word brevity. Just the facts, ma'am, like Harry likes to say. What are the important facts in a sea of information? You know, we live in the age of information. Information overload. How do you take the most pertinent, important facts and use them to make intelligent decisions time and time again with your money? That's the name of the game. So I always start, let me talk about the Yellow Brick Road, something that I learned from Gary, where he says, okay, is what's the objective? What if you're in, you know, the military, you look at the mission. What's the mission? In business, you have objectives, you have goals, whatever the case may be, personal, same thing. In life, it's very simple. What is the objective? I met with a trader just a few weeks ago, engineer, very bright guy, became a lawyer. You don't usually see that, but engineer and a lawyer in one. Very bright guy. Can't trade his way out of a paper bag and loses money hand over fist. If I told you the numbers that this gentleman has lost trading and thinking, by the way, he's making great decisions, trades like a maniac, extremely emotional. I told him all this. No game plan, almost by the seat of his pants. Few downticks, panic sells. Few upticks, buys more. It reverses, he sells. No plan, no rhyme or reason. And the worst part is, with his intelligence, and I put that in air quotes, he doesn't understand that he's making emotional decisions. He thinks he's making rational ones. So even though he's losing gobs and gobs of money in a bull market, in one of the strongest bull markets we've seen in years, you know, 2019, I believe, is on track to be one of the strongest years in the market's history. If not the strongest year, I think it's the late 90s. Depending on where we close in the next week or so. But I think another percent or two will be at a strongest year in almost 20 years or over 20 years. If not, definitely the top 3 years of in the last 20 years or 30 years as far as performance-wise. There's an expression, everyone's a genius in a bull market. And if you're not making money in this kind of environment, doctor, lawyer, engineer, it doesn't matter what you are, even no education whatsoever, you're still free to make money. That's the beauty of Wall Street. Anybody can come in, it's a level playing field. Compete, and if they make intelligent decisions, they can win. It's that simple. Now, if they make emotional and irrational and just fly by the seat of their pants decisions, guess what? Probably not going to win. So the first objective is to figure out what's the goal. Well, his answer was make money. Sure, who's, you know, objective is different. When I ask him what is he doing to accomplish that goal, what actions are you taking? Let's analyze them objectively, dive a little bit deeper. Shuts down. Doesn't want to go there. You could see it. There's pain associated with introspection, meaning looking at oneself. All my job is to put an objective mirror to the person to shatter their wrong beliefs of themselves or the personal blind spot bias. If you want to Google that afterwards, feel free. And then once they can see things accurately, then come up with a game plan to fix those mistakes and turn the weaknesses into strengths. It's really that simple. I do this day in, day out. But up next, we'll finish the Yellow Brick Road and a whole lot more. I'm Sarhan, and this is the one and only Investor's Edge.
Time to switch on the integrator units and get the brain cells working.
You're listening to...
Hey, this promises to be fun.
Investor's Edge.
The last bastion of quality programming.
With Gary Kaltbaum.
It doesn't get better than this.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Adam Sarhan, in for Gary Kay, who's out today. In case you're just joining us, we spent the first part of the show going over the introduction to making better decisions, which is more or less the theme of today's show. I always like to use at the end of the year, the end of the quarter, the end of the month, and do follow what I learned from Gary about 20 years ago, what he calls the Yellow Brick Road, just like the movie Wizard of Oz. You want to follow the Yellow Brick Road to the goal or the objective or the mission, wherever your objective is. Use it, follow a Yellow Brick Road to get there, and it's more or less what the Yellow Brick Road means. Now, how do you actually do that is a whole nother ball of wax. As far as the idea, where we left off in the conversation, if you missed any part of the show, you can go to GaryK.com and rewind it and pause it and all that fun stuff. But just to continue the conversation here, because we are short on time, once you identify the objective, what's your mission? What direction do you want to go? If you live in Florida and you're looking to go north, okay, you can go north. If you want to go west, you can go west. If you want to go northeast, that's great. Now, if you live in Key West or Miami, you want to go south, you're very limited on the direction or how far you can go before you run out of continental U.S., before you finally end yourself up in the water, right? So if you're in New York and you want to go to California, you know which direction you're going. Now, if you start heading east and you're in New York, what happens? You end up in the Atlantic. You head south, thinking you're going to California, you'll end up in Florida. You go north, you'll end up in Canada. So it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that before you do anything, to identify what the big picture, what the goal is. And don't have 10 goals, have one goal. Why? Because all of us as humans, we're structured to make emotional decisions. We do things that we like. Humans are structured to seek pleasure and avoid pain. And all this ties into the market because people associate losing money with pain. And making money with pleasure. It's just that simple. So, I like Apple. I like Microsoft. I like LMNOP, XYZ. It doesn't matter. Here's the story. Oh, they have great earnings, or the technicals, or the base, or the chart, or whatever the case may be. Honestly, it doesn't matter. What matters is to understand how you are making your decision. What variables, internal variables, are coming into play or being factored into the equation? Because once you understand that most people are making emotional decisions, I like this stock, I'm buying it. It's that simple. Now, you can enter any other reason you want. It's just usually the logic you find already supports a subconscious or predetermined decision that it's already been made. Oh, I like Apple. I'm buying it. Why are you buying it? It's got good earnings. It's got great products. It's got fire off 100 million reasons. Doesn't make a difference. I'm exaggerating, obviously. The answer is you're buying it because you like it. It's that simple. I'm buying gold. I'm buying Amazon. I'm buying Netflix. I'm buying whatever. It's fine. And there's nothing wrong with buying something that you like. Actually, once you're aware of it, it can be a good thing. Peter Lynch, in a great book, One Up on Wall Street, talks about buy things you know, buy things you love. Warren Buffett, same thing. Stay in your, what he calls, a core competency. Stay in your circle of competence. Stay in your lane, you know, however you want to word it. But if you think you're buying things and enter any other superficial reason, earnings, technicals, base, volume, whatever you want, but the real core factor that never changes is the emotional side. I like it. That's why I'm buying it. Or I'm selling it because I don't like it anymore. And you're not even aware of that. Therein lies a big thing that I'd like to help just, you know, shed some light on. That's usually what happens. Doesn't matter. Professional, investor, individual investor. I've got clients all across the board. Seasoned, professional, newbies, everybody in between. Take a look in the mirror, so to speak. Understand the dynamics. So once you understand the goal, the objective. You know, I was telling you earlier a story about a client of mine, engineer and lawyer. Super, super smart guy, loses a boatload of money trading. More money than people make in half a lifetime. Millions and millions of dollars. I mean, this guy lost before coming to talk to me. What's the deal? Well, highly emotional, number one. Number two, to make it even worse, he thinks he's rational. Number three, no concept of risk, no concept of structure. And number four, five, or six, whatever I'm on, the list goes on and on, there's no accountability. And there's a little delusion involved as well. And this happens to almost every single trader. All these things that I'm listing off. Why? Because at the end of the day, you can justify your losses. You can cover them up. You can tell yourself any story you want. Oh, the market's out to get me. Or this or that. Or the Fed or the Schmidt or anybody in between. Charlie Brown, the Tooth Fairy, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck. It doesn't matter. My favorite is they. They're out to get me. Sucker stops, the quants, whatever it is, it's always something. At the end of the day, it's you. Take accountability, be responsible, don't play the victim card, because that's how you get ahead. And really, really take your time to understand the real factors that cause you to make decisions. Good or bad, doesn't matter. But know thyself. Super, super important. So he's saying his number one objective is to make money. No, it's not. Because if it is, he'd do the heavy lifting. The second we sat down and had a consultation, right away, you could see him shivering, not shivering up physically, but you could just see him being physically uncomfortable. All I did was ask him really simple questions. And lots of people are like that. It's very easy to put your head in the sand, make excuses, and tell yourself a fabricated story about why you're not beating the market, why you're not getting ahead. I did that for many years, full disclosure. Until I woke up one day, and I don't mean physically woke up, I mean mentally woke up, and said enough is enough. There needs to be a better way. And that's what I've spent my career studying, that side of the equation, which most people don't even talk about. But once you get it, and once you have accountability, and if you can't do it yourself, that's fine. Find somebody who can help you. There's so many resources. We live today in a world that's full of people out there. Just pick up the phone. Don't even pick up the phone today. Nobody calls anybody anymore. Email, text message, whatever. Go to somebody's website. Send an email. You can find an objective third party. Listeners to this show, I'm around. Email me. I'm happy to help. Say Gary K. Say Investor's Edge. And take the time to study yourself. And find out what you're really doing. Do you want the drama? Or do you want to make money? Think of somebody who's overweight. Why is most of the country overweight? It's real simple. Calories in versus calories out. But most people are overweight. Why? Because remember earlier I said people seek pleasure and avoid pain. Well, there's consequences to every decision you make. Short and long. Short term, there's pleasure associated with eating the cookie and the chocolate and all whatever the case may be. But long term, there's pain. Going to the gym. Usually there's pain up front, short term, and long term there's pleasure. I'll get into that a little bit more. Up next, we've got a whole lot more to talk about, some stock sectors, and a little bit more on this decision making. I'm Adam Sarhan, and this is the one and only Investor's Edge.
America is talking.
Investor's Edge.
He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on his feet here. He's a Cinderella boy.
With Gary Kaltbaum.
Comes highly recommended. You're going to feel better if you talk to him.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Adam Sarhan, in for Gary K. In case you're just joining us, we spent the first part of the show going over some of the decisions, or the factors that impact your decisions. If you missed any part of the show, you can go to GaryK.com, rewind it, pause it, fast forward it, listen again and again, at your convenience 24/7 on any device. So I just left off before in the last segment here, talking about pain and pleasure, and saying most people are overweight. Why? Well, it's very simple. People seek pleasure and avoid pain. But what happens is there's different consequences, your short-term consequence and long-term consequence to every decision you make. In the short term, it feels really good. There's pleasure associated with eating a cookie or chocolate cake or whatever your vice may be, licorice, doesn't matter. And also, by the way, there's usually pain associated with going to the gym or doing the sit-ups or whatever it is that you should be doing, exercising, cardio, whatever. So people just avoid it. Short term, avoid it, avoid the pain, seek the pleasure. Let me eat the cookie and avoid the gym. Meanwhile, the exact opposite is true with the long term consequences of both of those decisions. Hence, the results we see all over. Most people are overweight and out of shape. It's very simple to fix it. Not easy, but very simple. A, understand what I call mental walls, what the wall is. B, come up with the plan, Gary's yellow, brick road type of a thing, to address it and overcome that wall. And then C, execute the plan. It's that simple. Not easy, but simple. And that's what I do time and time and time again. If you're interested, you want to learn more, people had asked questions, how do I get in touch with you? You can just email website@chartyourtrade.com. That's C-H-A-R-T, chart your, Y-O-U-R, trade, all one word, chartyourtrade.com. And the email is website@chartyourtrade.com. So, once you understand the real dynamic of what's happening, same thing, by the way, is true with money. Calories, it's simple formula, in versus out. Next time you see that chocolate chip cookie or a chocolate cake, whatever your vice is, doesn't matter, say this is painful in the long term, not pleasure. I'm not going to do it. Sacrifice short-term pleasure, quote-unquote, for long-term pleasure. Change it. Just reprogram the brain. Rewire your brain. Same thing with the gym. Oh, I'm painful to go sweat, or I'm painful to do the setups. Whatever it is, change it. The beauty is you can change your wants. Now, you can't have two conflicting wants at the same time. I can't want to have a six-pack and want to eat chocolate chip and ice cream, chocolate chip cookies and ice cream all day long. You physically can't do that. So I want both things. Well, which one do you want more? The prioritizing, adulting, whatever word you want to use. Because once you're able to figure out what you want more, it makes it that much easier to make better, i.e. smarter, rational decisions. Not just with your food and with your health, but with your money. Same thing with money. Simple formula. Cash flow in versus cash flow out. It's very simple. Not easy, but very simple. People always say, oh, I wish I could make more money. I wish I could make more money. No. I know people who make gobs and gobs and gobs of money and are still negative, upside down, broke, whatever word you want to use. If you make $10 million a year, you spend $11 million, what happens? You're negative $1 million a year. It's not necessarily always the solution is to make more money. To understand the very simple formula, in versus out. Just spend less than you make. Do that consistently for a long time and invest the rest in long-term compounded returns. You will do very, very well. Again, short-term, most people are broke. Why? Because they get pleasure when they spend. Think of retail therapy, right? That's a term that's coined these days when people go shopping aimlessly or almost mindlessly and just spend for the sake of spending because endorphins are filed off or whatever chemicals are in their brain that makes them feel good when they buy stuff. Short term. Long term, broke. Doesn't matter. They feel good right here, right now, and that's all they look at. I urge you to do the opposite. Rewire the brain. Look at the long term consequences of all of your decisions. And you'll be much, 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 much better off. because virtually nobody does that. The smart money does, but most people don't. And if you want to learn some of these lessons, I have a podcast. You can go just Google Smart Money Circle or go on smartmoneycircle.com. Or if you have an Apple iPhone or Android, just go into the Apple Podcast app and then search Smart Money Circle. And I interview big money managers for timeless investment advice. I don't ask for specific, what do you think about the market? What do you think about this stock? None of that stuff. It doesn't matter to me. I want timeless advice. What are some of the best lessons you've learned in your career, Mr. Money Manager who manages $3 billion? Another guy, $750 million. What mistakes do you see people make? Timeless mistakes, timeless lessons. Things that's what I'm interested in. Things that are evergreen. They'll last 50, 100, 200, 5,000, 5 million years from now. Human nature never changes, right? So that's the everything I wanted to share about the quality of your decisions. I hope that's helpful as we end the year. We wrap up to do inventory of not just where you are, how much you've accomplished this year. Hopefully it's the best year ever. And hopefully next year, look forward to next year, is even better. And part of doing inventory is looking back and saying, okay, here's what I wanted to accomplish at the beginning of the year. Every quarter, every month, check in to make sure you're on track. And if you're not, adjust. And hopefully once you get things done, you can add new things to the list. But you look back at your year, what did I accomplish this year? Just some exercises I like to do. What can I do to get better? How do I push myself to improve? What are my blind spots? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? Why would I ask these questions? Well, you can't improve until you know what the answers to these questions are. If you don't know what your weaknesses are and your strengths, you might be doing something that you're weak at and getting lousy results and being frustrated. Well, change. You might be really strong at doing this and you're not even doing that. And if you're really weak at doing that, then find someone who's really strong at that to complement you. Build a team. Even if you're a one-man shop or one-woman shop trading, you still can build a team by accessing research from other people. Get some minds that you respect, that know that have your best interest at heart, and reach out, ask the tough questions, because that's how you improve. That's how you grow. That's how you get better. So part of what I like to do at the end of the year is you get that, ask yourself, what do you really want? What do you want most? You know, the mission, the objective, the yellow brick road. If you think that you want to make money, but your actions tell you otherwise, and like this guy that I was sharing with the engineer and lawyer, he says he wants to make money, but his actions, his subconscious, whatever it is, he wants the entertainment. He wants the drama. He wants to tell the stories of, oh, me versus the market, up, down, sideways. Oh my God, this big thing. I lost 50 grand here, then 100,000 here, then I made back 200 here, then I lost 500 there. All this crazy, wild emotional roller coaster. That's what he wants. But he thinks he wants to make money. What do you want most? Just like with the candy. You can't eat the candy and get a six pack. It's one or the other. You can do both in moderation, but you can't physically want both and do both and expect to get both results. Can't do it. It's impossible. I can't eat chocolate cake all day long, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, not work out, and expect to have a six-pack. It's physically impossible. Same thing with the results on Wall Street. If you really, really want to make money, then pause. Ask yourself if what you're doing is not getting the results you want. What am I going to do differently going forward? What action am I going to take? How am I going to improve my game? The best athletes in the world do this all day, every day. Not just athletes, by the way. Anyone in a performance-based business. Entertainers, show business, same thing. They're constantly improving. CEOs, many of them are clients. I know these people. I know how they think. I've studied them. The smart money. They operate differently than most people. They push themselves intellectually to the next level. And I strongly recommend everyone do the same thing because it's doable. You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. If you've got the will, the drive, this is something that can be accomplished. I'm not asking you if you're 5'2 to slam dunk a basketball. That's physically impossible. This is something that intellectually, mentally, you can slam dunk. You can accomplish this goal if you push yourself might not happen overnight. In fact, it won't happen overnight. It could take years and years. But time's going to pass anyway. So I hope you find that much, you know, this information that I share with you helpful. It's just scratching the surface. I can go much deeper. I'm not going to, because there's a lot more to cover on the show today. But that's just, I hope it helps you look forward, make better decisions, and really understand what you want most. Up next, we'll talk to the market, some sectors, and some stocks. I'm Adam Sarhan. This is the one and only Investor's Edge.
Listening to.
What are we waiting for?
Well, what are you waiting for?
One, two, ready, go.
Action!
Investor's Edge with Gary Kaltbaum.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Adam Sarhan, in for Gary K. In case you're just joining us, I spent the first good two-thirds of the show, or over half the show, talking about the quality of your decisions, and I spent a lot of time, didn't go too deep, I hope I didn't, at least for many people, but I did spend some time talking about the inputs. You know, think of Ray Dalio talks about the machine, the biggest hedge fund manager in the world, input and output. Great YouTube video if you want, you have some free time over the holidays. Check it out on YouTube. It's called The Economic Machine, where he breaks down more or less the economy in very simple terms. And he talks about input versus output. Well, taking that logic, extending a little bit, and talking about the quality of our decisions. So if you missed any part of the show, you can go to GaryK.com, rewind, pause, fast forward, and everything is available on the should be available tonight or tomorrow morning on the website. So up next, few housekeeping. So let's talk about, not housekeeping, but back to markets. So nice update today on Wall Street. The market was closed yesterday, obviously, for Christmas. Today, it was somewhat of a quiet day. Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, all up fractionally. The Russell 2000, mixed to slightly lower. A quiet day, just a quiet across the board. The big news of the day, I mean, big news, I'm using that in air quotes, but the NASDAQ composite crossed 9,000 for the first time ever. And the S&P 500 hit a new high as the year-end rally continues. So what's going on? Well, we have the Santa Claus rally. The markets have been very, very, very strong over the last several months. I mean, more or less since the Fed started slashing rates. But the last, you know, this whole year, 2019, has been a very strong year. You step back and you look at, oh, the trade war. You look at the headlines. You know, what I argue and is the most, and Gary's, you know, I've gotten this definitely from Gary's lead over the years. It's the most important factor impacting markets. It's the Fed and easy money. You know, if you remember this time last year, the market had bottomed Christmas Eve when the Fed did a 180 after the S&P fell about 20%. It was, quote unquote, going to tighten rates in September or in the summer of last year. And then all of a sudden the market took a 20% dive and they reversed course. You know, hold on a second, pause. We're not really going to tighten. We're going to be flat, if not tighten. The market understood that to mean, hey, easy money's back. And then a few months later, Fed's like, hey, yeah, forget that whole tightening thing. That's not happening. Instead, we're going to cut. So fast forward a few months into 19, they cut, and they do it several times. Here we are, second half of the year. Boom, stocks are just on fire. Fed injecting more money now than they did years and years and years before. For now, markets continue to react well to all the easy money sloshing around the world from these global central banks. It's like a game of musical chairs. Eventually, most people think that will stop and it will end very, very poorly. I have no idea. I'm assuming that's going to happen. It's going to end poorly. But I've learned in the market to be open-minded and be ready for any possible outcome and keep it simple. It's only three things can happen. It either ends poorly, it's non-event, or it's a positive thing and it's a good transition. They hand off, you know, think of a football, they hand it off, so to speak, and it's the market continues to rally, get a few corrections, few pullbacks, and then the bear market, but it's all mild, and such is life. 10, 20 years down the road, whatever, it's already been 10, so those are the only three possible outcomes. You know, good outcome, a bad outcome, or something in the middle. That's it. By the way, same thing with the stocks. Whenever you buy any stock, it doesn't matter what it is. It's all that can happen. It goes up, it goes down, or it goes sideways after you buy it. So, major indices, new highs, NASDAQ top 9,000. That's the big news. Amazon came out today, I believe, and said they broke all records for online sales. Other retailers also had good online sales as well. The XRT, which is a retailer ETF, which tracks a bunch of retail stocks, is range-bound, but decent action. It somewhat recovered because it was, bleeding for a long time. Walmart trading near a record high. Target trading near a record high, or at a record high, excuse me. Just has been a banner year for Target. Big gap up when they reported earnings back in November and just been very strong since. Costco, COST, has had a very strong run over the last several years and is trading below a record high, but just near it, I guess maybe 15 points or so below it, or 20 points on a $300 stock, so it's not that big of a deal, but it's trading near a record high. And a few other ones, you can go on and on, but when you take some time, it's obviously that heavy holiday shopping season. It's not over, but the bulk of it is now behind us since Christmas is over. You have Boxing Day in Canada and in UK, I believe Australia as well, and a few other places, which is still a big heavy sales day. It's like their Black Friday. So you might have some retailers benefit, especially with international exposure. But for all intents and purposes, it's been a good holiday season. The market understands that. Fed's cut rates several times. The Fed is injecting money into the system. And for now, the market is responding well to all of that easy money. Now, I would be remiss not to note that the market is very extended to the upside, and it's due to pull back. Who knows when it's going to pull back? If somebody did, they'd own a few islands in the Caribbean. But for now, the action is just strong. That simple. Very strong. Amazon was up sharply today, one of the big movers. Heavy volume behind today's move after they reported, record sales over the holiday season. A few other big winners, too. I mean, Apple, again, nice big jump. A lot of people bought the iPhones. That should be good for Apple stock. And a lot of other NASDAQ-type names up and up nicely. Microsoft, very strong action there. And the list goes on and on. So stepping back, it's just important. Pick your spots. Take your time. Understand the variables that go into making decisions. What impacts your decision? What do you want more? The six-pack or the chocolate chip cookie or whatever it is, right? Same thing with the money. Same thing with Wall Street. Same thing with the stocks. Why are you buying these stocks? Where's your exit? What's your risk management? When are you going to how much are you going to risk if you're wrong? So on and so forth. When you take the time to think and think differently than most people, you're going to get different, hopefully better results. It's the end of the game. That's the game that we're in. Or the end of the day, excuse me, that's the game we're in. It's an intellectual game. Taking action based on your intellect. Not say the smartest guys win, because in fact they don't. But the ones who understand themselves the most. That's all the time we have for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening. Happy holidays, everybody. This is the one and only Investor's Edge. Good night, all.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Investor's Edge on the Biz Talk Radio Network. If you missed any of today's show, or to get in touch with Gary Kaltbaum, please go to GaryK.com. That's GaryK.com. To reach Gary Kaltbaum at his office, call 1-888-422-5559. That's 1-888-422-5559.